Hello and welcome to the Opposition Perspective, Celtic travelling to Fir Park to take on Motherwell. Today we have Derek Watson, who's a big Motherwell fan. He's a director at the Well Society, and he's going to talk us through Motherwell and their perspective of things, how they've started the season, the change in manager, and how everything's ticking along there. We will also speak to Christian Wolfe, who will talk us through the Motherwell game from a tactics point of view and from a stats point of view, and how we can prepare for the game tomorrow. This is the Opposition Perspective, as mentioned, and we're going to go straight to Christian Wolfe. Joining me now, as always, is our very good friend Christian Wolfe. Hello, Christian. How are you, sir?
I'm great, Christopher. How are you?
I'm very good also on this sunny Friday afternoon. We are headed to Fir Park to take on Motherwell, who have started the season very well. And I want to hear your thoughts. Motherwell, an interesting case study in just performance and analysis.
Yes, luckily. I think that is the case. They have, they have made a good start. 10 points, fourth place. How are the performances still, Christopher? Because we know, short sample, can have good results, but is it built on solid foundations? That's what we're saying. And I think for Motherwell overall, they are what we call overperforming a little bit, I guess, all the small sample collections and all that. But 10 points, and then they're kind of, the main thing we jump in and look at is how many expected points do they have. And yes, the bigger the sample of expected points, the more confidence we have in them. But at the moment, they are on 7.6 expected points. So I think in general, you can probably say that the performances have been a little bit below their actual results. But it's, even if you look at purely on, who in this league is taking the most expected points, it's a good indication of the actual performances so far. And even with that, they're sixth, right? So even if you're, maybe slightly, quote unquote, a little bit lucky in terms of what results they got from the performances, they're still so far on any kind of metric a top six team. So they are, good start, but also there's solid foundations to what they've been doing so far.
It's interesting, I spoke to Derek Watson, who we'll hear from in a few moments, about Motherwell, and I asked him, as a Motherwell fan, what has Stuart Kettlewell done differently? Has he brought in new players? Has he kind of changed the way you play? And his kind of point was, not really. He's just kind of getting better performances out of the players that were there. There's not a huge kind of difference in style from how they were playing. It's kind of weird that, not weird, but sometimes there's this idea that a manager can only work with what he's got and put into situations like that. And then other times you think, you have to change it all up. He's kind of somewhere in the middle. What's your thoughts on Kettlewell?
Yeah, I think there is a point in there about the benefits of consistency and doing, when you say just do the basic, it sounds like you're being almost, reductive and it's trying to do anything that's, if you want to call it progressive or smart, or you're just doing your basics. But I think it's a lot to do with, if you have be able to have a consistent system that is good and it works for the players you have, and then consistently improving within that system, I think there's a lot to say for that. Because if you kind of look at what Motherwell has based their performances and the results on so far, the thing that jump out is that they're, in terms of the chances they've created, so the XG, they're third lowest in the league, right? So they're not a team that has created a lot of chances. But if you look at their defensive solidity, they're the fourth best when it comes to chances conceded so far.
Yeah.
In terms of the XG. So against it, you kind of get a sense that they are doing those kind of, I guess if you want to call them basics. This is a team that I don't think, when I've had a little look at them, they're not, sparkling, and they're not, hugely entertaining. I mean, we'll get back to it, but that game against Rangers could get football stopped. I don't think that's their fault, but that was an incredibly boring game of football. But that's not being doing the fundamentals right, as in terms of a Livingston who's like, oh, we sit low, we kick the ball up. They seem to me that they have find a kind of a good in between, but they have a system, they're well drilled, but they're also able to keep the ball at points and to kind of try and create attacks a certain way. And they have a system, a setup that works well defensively without being ultra defensive. So it's early days, but it seems to have kind of found a consistent middle way of a tactical system that is not hugely complex, but it's not primitive either. And they have a set of players that kind of work well within that. So it's probably like gets the benefit from that consistency in a way.
I'm just looking over, you know, some of their kind of how they've been setting up, and you know, the games where they've performed well, they've played 3-5-2, they played 3-4-3 in the last two defeats. There was a bit of a change of system, but against Hearts at Tynecastle, it was more of a 5-4-1, and they got the result, so it's hard to kind of, you know, say anything negative about that. But there has been, essentially what I would say is, he's switching systems up. He's maybe doing what, you know, we talked about this, I think, I don't know if it was on the agenda, or about Ange Postecoglou playing football a very specific way, and that's it, and he doesn't kind of deviate from that, whereas Rodgers is a little bit more, I'll, you know, base my system on maybe the opposition. Is Kettlewell similar to that, do you think? Because there has been changes.
Yeah, but I still think that the fundamentals are there of a back three. But no, you're right. It's kind of chopped and changed a little bit. And obviously, the Rangers game was a really relative one to look at. They did go into a 3-4-3. We get a little bit more into it, but yeah, it's had the kind of same system the last couple of games. And I think they played okay the last couple of games, even though they lost them. But I think there's always that element when we try to look forward. And obviously we had this with Livingston last week. We thought, oh, they've been playing a back three the whole season. Then partly to do with their kind of centre-back issues, they went with a back four. So you're kind of going, is Kettlewell kind of going to change this? But then you kind of go, like, the way they performed against Rangers, which was really good, and they stopped them from doing a lot of things offensively. It didn't work quite well for them, and it seems like the kind of players they have kind of fit that system as well. So no, I would. It is obviously has, I guess, which is the kind of way you kind of want to. You have fundamentals, you have a basic set of playing, you have your basic principles. But especially if you're a team like Motherwell, we probably don't have the luxury of going, we're just going to play our own way the whole time, because there is such a gap in the quality of the teams you're facing as well for them in terms of setting up against a Celtic or Rangers, even a Hibs or a Hearts, compared to, you know, playing, you know, Livingston or St Johnstone or Ross County. So I think to have that flexibility combined with that consistency is probably how you want to coach a team that's kind of, their goal is essentially, let's try and get into the top six.
I'm guessing the XG issue is to do with Kevin Van Veen leaving?
Yes. I mean, it's an interesting one if you kind of just look at, you know, he was always the focal point for a lot of their chances, and his XG, I mean, his scoring rate was high. It was a lot higher than his XG, so I don't think it's sustainable. But even so, the XG he had was high. You know, he was very much the focal point, and he was at the end of those kind of chances, not in a scoring sense, in terms of, you know, we've talked about this a lot through the years, but in terms of a striker's worth, it's hard to define, but if you have a striker that is able to get to a lot of XG, that striker is doing something right, like he's a good fit within the system, but he's just doing things before he gets to actually take a shot or take a header. He is contributing to a high XG. And I think if you have a quick look at the player so far who has, you know, the highest XG for Motherwell, even if you try and look at it, you know, who gets to the most amount of shots, it's not like the strikers. You know, I think the strikers have kind of Theo Blair has probably played quite a few minutes. He's only really averaging about a shot a game. But you've got someone like Blair Spittle, who's obviously, you know, a winger, attacking midfielder, who's looking at almost 3 shots per game. And you have another one like Callum Slattery, who's often on a winger as well, a bit more attacking midfielder, opposite side of Spittle. Again, one and a half shots per game. So it seems like, whereas the focal point last year was Van Veen as the big number man and striker, and all the chances went through him, that hasn't been the case at all this year with Theo Blair, in terms of he's got players beside him who's actually getting to the chances, getting to, like, taking the shots and so on. So there's been a clear shift from having this all-dominating number nine that all the chances went through him to actually spread it a lot more around, and especially to Spittle and Slattery. Slattery, I should say.
Just looking at... Yes. Callum Slattery. Just looking at that midfield, obviously we have Lennon Miller, who's the kind of big... you know, young quality player in the central midfield. He's just turned 17. You've got Slattery as well. You've got Blair Spittle. Is the kind of midfield area their strongest part of their team?
I've always liked Spittle in terms of he's been in various clubs as well. I think they obviously, there's a fair bit of experience there. In terms of what they have, there's a couple of interesting players there, especially in midfield, and obviously Miller is one of them. So I obviously haven't really watched Motherwell a lot. I've watched the Rangers game, and I think the best compliment I can give Lennon Miller is that you couldn't tell that he was 17. So I don't think he was like sparkling or you know some sort of like supernova talent straight away, but he came in he seems quite a big lad. He doesn't look 17, but just in the way he's you know, was very tidy. He didn't seem overawed by the occasion. He seemed to we'll get back to how to set up, but he's kind of in a midfield too with Patton, and he's really well at just keeping the right distances to Patton in that kind of defensive block, moving over, you know, nice and tidy on the ball. So he didn't look at him and go, whew, super talent. But he also, when he realized he's 17, I think, as I said, that's the biggest compliment I can give him, that if you didn't know who on that Mother's team was 17 years old, I don't think you'd automatically pick out Miller. So I think he's a really interesting player, because if you're doing those kind of minutes and you're coming in and you're comfortable away to Rangers at that age, I think it's only natural to say, like, this is a kid who's got levels to go up, and with the right development he can do that without, as I said, being some sort of having a sparkling performance or anything. The other kind of player I kind of noticed just from that is I guess he's kind of playing more as a wing back, full back in this kind of system, is Brody Spencer on the left hand side. Also, I was really impressed with him watching him against Rangers. You know, he's on loan from Huddersfield actually, but he's only 19. So again, I think was a really exciting player. If you kind of look like things are like the kind of average position maps and things like that, Motherwell likes to kind of keep their fullbacks, like wingbacks, higher up. You know, Stephen O'Donnell on the other side. So he is quick, fast. It was really comfortable on the ball. So I think he looked a really good player as well. So yeah, they got some interesting younger players in there. And then obviously you got guys like McGinn and so, some of the older ones who's been, even Spittle is in his nice 20s now, and Stephen O'Donnell. So, and Liam Kelly in goals as well. So yes, it's a good mix of players. And so I don't think it's just the midfield, but yeah, from going from being so focused on Van Veen, there's the spread kind of that offensive creation and the shots around the team a lot more. I mean, overall, it hasn't got that many shots because they're quite far down the XG still, but at least it's a bit more variety in the attacking play.
So how do you think they're going to set up tomorrow against us?
Well, I think this is where it gets interesting. So you talked about, like, it seems like they're setting up as a 3-4-3 in the last couple of games. I think if you look at it, it is more like a 5-2-3. So you have that lone striker in Blair, But the kind of two wingers, so Spittle and Slattery, they're just below him, but they're still quite narrow. And then you had the two central midfielders in that game, Miller and Patton. Again, a bit further down to there. So almost like the five of them, when they're inside their opposition's half, inside their own half, trying to defend for the opposition, they're almost like creating a little one of those house drawings. You know, you have the top striker and then the wingers with the roof and then below them. So, but that unit of five, is they stay quite close. You know, they stay close together. Blair as a striker is against Rangers at least. They might change this against Celtic. But there wasn't like one specific player who seemed to have the responsibility of covering or man-marking like the deep pivot arrangers. I guess that game it would kind of be Lindstrom, but in a Celtic sense, it would be McGregor. So unless they change tomorrow, you wouldn't expect Callum McGregor to be man-marked. As you often get against these teams that play a back three or back five, you know, they have two strikers or one striking an attacking midfielder, and one of them sits on McGregor. They didn't really do that against Rangers. Instead, they had Blair, who in the first instance, if the pass is with the ball is at the centre backs, he kind of blocks the pass to what would be McGregor. And then, as I said, the two wingers are still quite narrow. So if the ball got in behind the striker, one of them could kind of jump in. Now, if the ball goes wide, for example, out to one of the fullbacks, then Blair might jump on what will be McGregor. So it's one of the first interesting things to me for seeing Saturday is, do they change that? Do they man mark McGregor? Because now it's very kind of almost like a bit sonal that they're kind of stopping the spaces to kind of work in. Now, I think if you look at it from a Celtic point of view, I wonder if one of the kind of main weaknesses in that is that when you have this system, instead of having a back five and a midfield three and then a front two, you have more a back five, which I think, you know, the wing backs will follow the wingers. One of the two other centre backs will cover Kyogo, and then maybe you have one centre back who can maybe jump up into the midfield space, which I think might be needed because they don't have three central midfielders. They have two. Like they have Miller and Patton. So then they stay close together, Christopher, and they try to move. If the ball's over on one side, they both move over. But obviously your weakness then for me is you essentially just got a line of two midfielders. So there should be opportunity to find space behind their winger, for example, on the right-hand side, Slattery, and then beside the midfielder. So there was, I've taken a few screenshots from the Rangers game where that front five, they stay close together. They're quite narrow. The short distance is between them. But if you're able to switch that, there should be a lot of space beside that midfield too. For a team, Christopher, I don't know if we've talked about this before. See if you have a team that likes to play with inverted fullbacks and that fullback likes to get in centrally when the ball's on their side. I mean, if you show them this, they probably rub their hands together. If that's how Motherwell's kind of learned out. So, you know, so I think that's the interesting thing. So the what this reminded me of was kind of how St. Johnstone tried to set up against Celtic away last season, where they had the three strikers, like a front three. And obviously, yeah, you try to push the wingers, those wingers out on Celtic's fullbacks. You try to cover that half space. And yes, you might have a centre-back that can jump up into the midfield space if there's like too many Celtic players there. But I think that's a natural weakness in this kind of system. They might change it, but I think that's what you want to look at. Are they still doing a 5-2-3? And if so, can Greg Taylor on the left-hand side or Alistair Johnston even come in when the ball's on the opposite side and kind of you can those quick switches and that space? Because in the end, let's talk about on the game plan this week, that's what happened with Livingston. Livingston gave Celtic so much space between those kind of half spaces on each side, which they exploited so well.
Beautiful. I'm really looking forward to this game because I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for Celtic. Final thoughts before we wrap up?
Yeah, so I think, again, we've been here before and thinking like Motherwell or a team should set up this way, but then they kind of change it. But if there is elements of this, I think there will be opportunities that if you are able to move the ball into those spaces quickly there will be opportunities to get, you know, players on the ball. Now, if Motherwell might go a little bit more defensive, because that kind of 5-2-3 can very often kind of compress down into a 5-4-1, and you get you know, the wingers down and so on. If you move the ball too slowly, I think, in the faces, you know, that they'll fall down. There'll be very little space between the kind of lines, those three lines, and they'll try and push you out. So it's the same thing, Christopher. I think if you're able to move the ball quickly to your pivot, to your fullbacks, to your attacking midfielders, switch to play quickly, make the ball go quickly, I think, you know, I'm complimentary of Miller, but I think, you know, a 17-year-old who's now going to face inverted fullbacks and a high-intensity team, you might be able to exploit the spaces around him as well. So, but it's the same old thing, Christopher. Move the ball quickly and you know, good things should come here.
Christian Wolf, a pleasure as always, sir. We'll speak to you very soon.
Oh, pleasure's all mine. Speak to you soon.
Joining me now is Derek Watson, Motherwell fan and director at the Well Society. It's a pleasure to see you again, Derek. How are you, sir?
Hi, Chris. All good. Thanks very much for having us back on. I hope you're keeping well.
Yes, I am, and I hope you're keeping well as well. I believe you did a marathon recently.
I did, yeah. I done the Berlin Marathon last weekend, so still very much recovering from that. It was a great experience, but I have to say I'm pretty knackered now, but glad that I've not got one coming up for a while, at least, I suppose.
Great stuff, man. We're just, obviously, Celtic travel to Fir Park for the game against Motherwell on Saturday. It's a huge game. Can you just give us a bit of an... We spoke to you last season, of course, but can you give us a bit of an overview over the whole of last season? Three managers, a bit of a roller coaster, eh?
Yeah, last season was one that I suppose we kind of just want to put to the back of our minds and look forward. Graham Alexander, as we spoke at the last time I was on at the start of the season, Motherwell fans were kind of up and they were kind of divided about Graham Alexander. You know, the football to watch was really, really poor, but we managed to grind out results and got us into Europe. We ended up with Sligo Rovers, and the writing was on the wall for him then. You know, it was unfortunately the right time for him to go. Stevie Hamill came in, club legend. Everyone was spurring him on to do well. You know, there's not a man that I think that Motherwell fans would have wanted to succeed more than Stevie Hamill, considering his playing career at the club, you know, playing over 500 games, etc. And he just didn't do it, which was a real shame. I believe he's now at Celtic, actually, in the coaching staff. And wish him all the best in that, because Stevie's a great guy, you know, both on and off the pitch. He's a real professional. It was just a real shame it didn't work out for him. And then Pettlewell got the job. And I'll be honest, I was one of the first to say I thought that was a poor decision. We gave Stevie Hamill the job. Lots of people said, is this a cheap option you're promoting from within? Stuart had a job within the academy as well. But how wrong could I be? You know, he's been absolutely brilliant since that he took the reins. And I'm really, really confident about the season ahead. It's such a strange one from the position we were in when Hamill left. It looked like we were almost doomed and guaranteed to go down. Stuart kept us up, and he kept us up in a way that, you know, instilled a lot of pride in the players and the support. And the start to this season has been remarkable, you know, for us. We've been really surprised at how well we've done. The players seem to be gelling really well together. I read a comment this morning that Kettlewell said in his interview, and it was like, we're a unit, you know, we win as a team, we lose as a team. And that really, I mean, it's easy to say that, you know, words are words, but that really resonates on the pitch as well. So it's been a good start. Unfortunately, we didn't get a result at Ibrox at the weekend. A few dodgy refereeing decisions, I'm sure your listeners will not be surprised about.
Yeah.
It's been a good start. And I suppose Motherwell fans will probably be quite confident getting into Sunday's game, which means that we'll probably end up being disappointed by the end of it. But we've both had a good start, and long may it continue. I think if you'd have said to me, as the season kicked off, what do you see as a success? I would have said, you know, pushing for top six, I would be delighted. But anything, you know, above the relegation zone would be fine now. With the start that we've had and the football that we're playing, it's one of those things where we need to be pushing for top six, and who knows, could we even get a wee European place as well?
Oof. Well, that's the thing, though, isn't, you know, expectations are very quickly, as football fans, you know, like that idea of, listen, if we avoid relegation, we're fine. Now it's like, we want Europe, which
it changes very quickly, doesn't it, Chris?
Yeah, exactly. That's, you know, I think we're all the same in that regard. Just in regard to, obviously, Kettlewell as a manager, he had good periods and bad periods in his last job, obviously sharing it as well. The two of them were managers. It was all a bit kind of murky. What's he done since he's came in, what's he done to kind of get you on this path?
This is not a hard question to ask. And, you know, it's one of those things that we've sat in the pub with friends after the match and says, what's the difference here? Because it's not glaringly obvious to see. Because the players, he's not particularly brought in too many new faces. It's very much the same people. In fact, you could argue that he's lost a few that were big players for us last year, Kevin Van Veen being the obvious.
Yeah.
He just seems to have instilled a belief in the players that, you know, you can go out there and you're as good as anyone else. They don't seem to give up. They seem to be fighting for each other. There's players that were in our team last year, probably the most obvious for me being Callum Slattery, who plays in the middle of the park, who, when we signed him, he came through the youth ranks at Southampton, and we were very much told, you know, this is a player for the future. And up until this season, he's showed flashes of, you know, he's got something there, but never really done anything. This season, he's playing out of his skin. It's almost like this is the player that we were hoping would have appeared in the first place.
Yeah.
He's just getting more out of the players. He seems to be working them really hard, and they seem to be responding to them. Stephen O'Donnell, actually, the comment saying that, you know, if he puts his faith in you, you want to repay him. And he feels like he's doing that because he's getting the game at right back. If you'd asked me last season, I would have been like, oh, no, Stephen's not anywhere near the team. Again, that's another player who's been excellent under Kettlewell. And he also seems to be giving young players a chance as well, which for Motherwell and for many teams in Scottish football should be a must. So the real standout for me this season is young Lennon Miller, who's only 17 years old, just turned 17. And I would say he's been our best player this season, you know, in the middle of the park. Very, very mature for his age as a person, as a footballer as well. And I'm pretty sure he'll go into much bigger and better things, but hopefully we can hang on to him for as long as possible.
Funnily enough, we do a podcast on a Monday called The Agenda, where we just kind of talk over everything over the weekend and, you know, from a Celtic point of view. And we were talking about young, talented players in the league, and Lennon Miller was the first kind of port of call. You've mentioned him, obviously he's your best player. What type of player is he?
Would you say he's a holding midfield player? He almost allows Slattery and Spittle to go forward and be more creative. You know, he's very mature on the ball. His vision for a pass is second to none.
Excellent.
He just makes things look so simple. You know, one of these players that almost does things in slow motion. But he's not scared to get stuck in as well. And I think when young players of that age get a break in the first team, you think, oh, geez, is he going to put the boot in here? Or is he going to pull out that tackle? He gets stuck right in, but he's also able to create chances out of nothing as well. Some people will probably remember his dad, who played for Aberdeen, Hearts, Carlisle, Lee Miller.
Of course. That's
his dad. So he's a totally different player for his dad, because his dad was a striker. But I think that really helps, you know, having someone who's done quite well in the game, got some Scotland caps under his belt behind you to kind of push you on and give you some advice away from the changing rooms as well.
I remember watching Lee Miller and Mark Burchell play up front for Hearts at Celtic Park, and they absolutely terrorised us. just a flashing memory there. Someone like Lennon Miller, who's kind of, you know, as you said, he's just turned 17. What's your kind of thoughts on how long he stays at Fir Park? Because obviously with everything that's happened with Brexit and stuff, you've got all these English scouts from even the lower leagues in England just kind of circling about like vultures, frankly.
Absolutely.
So like, what would you, in regards to how long you think you'll have him, what's your thoughts?
We've got another season, I believe, after the end of this season. I would be surprised if the board are not already trying to negotiate a new contract with him, you know, to make him a much more fairly paid player, if not one of our top earners, because if we can keep him tied down for a bit longer, it's going to improve our chances on the pitch. But, I mean, I suppose for him, he needs to remember as well that he is only 17, and having this opportunity playing regular first-team football week in, week out is invaluable. I would be surprised if he doesn't stay until at least the end of the season after, but as you says, there's going to be people in there, it's like vultures, they're going to be trying to get their claws in. Lennon is a very mature player for his age as well, and it's important though that these players are rewarded for the work that they're doing. You know, I think it's so easy for clubs to sit on young players and keep them on the wages that they were at. I sometimes have a bit of reservation about young players getting a big bumper contract to keep them at the club, because then do they get above their stations? I've no worries about that with Lennon at all. You know, he seems to have, he just seems to be a real old head on young shoulders. It's funny because when we get young players coming through, I always kind of think of who was the last one to make their way through at Motherwell and go on. And I was a big fan of David Turnbull when he was here, and I know that Celtic fans at the moment are maybe giving him a bit of stick and thinking that he's not quite up to the job. They're different players. They're from the same area. I think they maybe went to the same school as well, but I hate to say this because I am a Turnbull fan. I think Lennon's got a lot more to his game. I think he'll go a lot further. He also is, I mean, it's still young in his career, still early in his career, but he's also not had the knocks or the niggles that Turnbull's had. And for Motherwell to get, what is it, £3 million, £3.5 million or so from Celtic for David, I'd like to be thinking that we'll get at least double that for Lennon if he keeps continuing at the rate that he does.
Yeah, David Turnbull, he is the various discussions and debates. I think we all think he's a very talented player. It's, yeah, he's a good player and we like him and we think he's got good technique, but it's just not quite working. And again, you know, I'm obviously, as a big Scotland fan, I think he's someone that I'd like to see become available again, because he's obviously not getting that game time. In regard to Lennon Miller and back to Motherwell as a whole, that game again, obviously, you're undefeated in the league other than the last two games, and you really obviously don't want that to become kind of, you know, consistent occurrence, so obviously you'll be looking to get back on track against us. That game against Rangers, though, you get a lot of kudos. Although Michael Beale came out today and says, "Where's all this stuff about them being the better team coming?"
It's a lot of rubbish, I think he said, doesn't
it? Yeah, he did.
Like, he needs to cover his own back, doesn't he?
was that the performance against Rangers? Was that to do with Rangers being poor, or Motherwell being good, or maybe a mixture of both?
I think it's a mixture of both. I read Beale's comments about, you know, I don't see where this Rangers been rubbish from is coming from. I mean, I don't think I only seen bits of it because I was away in Germany, as we touched on earlier, but I don't think Rangers were necessarily really bad. I think sometimes in this instance you have to give credit to the team that they're playing against.
Yeah.
And we have been very, very good this season. Where we're really lacking, Chris, is someone who's just an out-and-out striker to put the ball in the back of the net. You know, that Van Veen leaving the gaps, not really been filled yet. We've brought in Ollie Shaw on loan, who had a really good chance against Rangers. Mr. Sitter had a really good chance the week before, and Mr. Sitter as well. Sometimes it's got to click for these players. You know, they can't keep missing week in, week out. I think we've been good. And you make a really good point about if we lose again at the weekend, you know, that's then three on the bounce. And does the heads go? Does that change the game? I don't think it will. I'm hoping we can at least get a point out of the game at the weekend. Celtic have obviously started okay. Brendan Rodgers now seems to be getting a bit better. You know, the game at Livingston maybe gives the players a bit more hope and gets Brendan on side, I suppose. But I really, really hope that we can get something out of this game. And I think if we go away with another narrow defeat, it'll be really, really hard to take. It's almost these ones where you don't want to get hammered, but it's easier to go home and say, right, we weren't very good. But when you're getting knocked out of the cup by St Mirren, or when you're narrowly losing to Rangers at Ibrox, it's just painful. You know, we're almost there, but not quite.
Yeah, that frustration. In regard to the game on Saturday, how do you think you'll set up? Will it be on the front foot? Will it be more defensive? Will it be a bit mixture of both? How do you think Motherwell will take the game to Celtic?
Yeah, I don't know if we'll necessarily take the game to you. As I says, I wouldn't say we're struggling up front. We just don't have a player that's really... We've been playing one up front most of this season. I can't see him changing that at all. You'll obviously have Kelly in goals, who's been doing really well this season. Great goalkeeper. Five at the back. Yeah, I can't see him changing it too much. But we need to try and be creative. You know, we need to make sure that we can exploit Celtic's weaknesses, if there is any. I think we'll try and play... we'll try and be quite conservative with it. You know, we're not going to be hammering forward and getting caught in the counter-attack. But we'll allow our midfielders to play. Spittle this season has been very, very good at creating chances.
Yeah.
The full-backs have been getting forward and creating chances as well. So I think we'll do okay, but I think we'll... You know, we'll be quite calm about our approach. I don't see us going all guns blazing and trying to take the game to you.
In regard to looking at this fixture from your point of view, looking at Celtic, how do you see this Celtic side? Obviously, it's new into Rodgers' campaign, as you say, as return. Do you look at this Celtic side with the same level of fear you did previous?
I don't, and maybe this is maybe unfair, and that may change. But when we played against Brendan Rodgers, Celtic side, the last time we lost two cup finals to you,
that's right.
Know, and it almost felt like we're never going to beat that team. The one chance that we got, or we came close, was at Fir Park. It was a Wednesday night. Callum McGregor get knocked down towards the end, and I think we were almost going to stop that invincible run.
That's right.
You get a penalty with a couple of minutes to go and put it in the back of the net. At that point, I just thought, there's no chance we are beating a Brendan Rodgers Celtic team. This season, and maybe I'd be really keen to hear what, you know, your listeners think about this. I don't feel that Rodgers seems to have the same drive just yet as he did the last time round. It almost feels like he's taking the job and he's not sure why. And that's maybe been unfair, and it's different from the outside looking in. But I would like to think if we can avoid conceding an early goal or get an early goal ourselves, there does seem to be, from the outside looking in, a slight negativity around Celtic at the moment, from the fans to the pitch, and it's not quite clicked yet. I watched the Champions League game where yous were over in the Netherlands, and I just thought, you know, yes, yous were unlucky. I thought you started well, and then the result maybe wasn't a fair reflection of how the game went, but it was silly mistakes. You know, there's totally avoidable things that are happening there where players are switching off for a second. You know, Kyle got that free kick, for example.
Yeah,
I'm just thinking that's not what I would expect from a Brendan Rodgers Celtic team. Maybe that's just yet to click. I hope not, but maybe it's still yet to click, you know.
Yeah, I think the Livingston game did a lot to convince a lot of people, because it was a convincing performance with 10 men. And I think it's to do with the shape and how we're kind of playing. I think there's also this idea that people expected, including fans, expected them to come back and it would be instantly exactly how it was. But yeah, I think it feels, you know, from my point of view, and I never wanted Brendan Rodgers to come back, but now that he is back, it feels like we're kind of starting to ramp up. Because we do have injuries, and once those injuries come back, I think you'll see a different team. You work for the Wales Society, you're director for the Wales Society. I know we talked on this previous, but I think it's always good to get that message across. Can you tell us a little bit more about it?
Yeah, so Wales Society is the model for fan ownership at the moment. At Motherwell Football Club, we're the majority shareholders of the club. We've got around about 3,000 members who pay in anywhere from £5 upwards each month to keep the club ticking over. For me, it's very, very important for football clubs to be fan-owned, especially in the current climate, you know, where you're getting big owners from abroad coming in who don't really have the ethos of the club at heart. It always amazes me that there's not a club like Celtic or, dare I say, Rangers who've went down that route.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, we are pulling from a very small pool of fans, and we're always relying heavily on the same people in the local community to put their money in for season tickets, for going to away games, hospitality, and then again asking them, can you spare some hard-earned cash in the middle of a climate crisis, middle of a cost of living crisis, can you give us more money just to keep the club ticking over? You know, a club like Celtic, I think, would really thrive in that environment. It's not the decisions that you make day in, day out. Like, you're not going to go into the changing room and say, this is who I think should be in the starting 11. But you've got more say on the direction of what your club's going on, the decisions that are made at a board level, you know, making sure that you can improve the fan experience for people, making sure that, you know, it's a bit more accessible for people from different backgrounds who may be disabled or something along those lines. So it's worked well for us so far. Don't get me wrong, fan ownership does have its drawbacks. We don't have a big money spender there. We're always, you know, get the begging bowls out, trying to make sure that we can afford to pay the players at the end of the year. But that's again because we're a smaller club. You know, it might work better at Celtic. One of the clubs that I was looking at closely recently was Union Berlin, who played Real Madrid the other night in the Champions League.
Yeah,
you know, a fan-owned club with 40,000 members. All their funding comes from their supporters, and they're absolutely thriving. You know, don't get me wrong, conceded a late goal to Jude Bellingham at the Bernabeu and lost 1-0, but they're in the Champions League group stages as well. And it seems to me for big clubs like that, that really should be the model. And I would really like to see more Scottish clubs go down that route as well.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. I think it's a really interesting kind of way of owning a club. And we've got a financial podcast that we do where we kind of talk through it. So yeah, I'll be reporting back to those guys. Right, I want a prediction for Saturday before I ask you the final question.
Chris, I'm going to say one each.
Fair play. Fair play.
And hopefully it's a Motherwell equaliser, because if it's another late Celtic goal and drag it back, I'll be absolutely gutted. But I'm going to say one each.
Final question, and I'm springing this on you. I've not given you time to prepare this. If you could change one thing about Scottish football, what would it be?
Should I say this on a Celtic podcast? I would like Celtic and Rangers to go and play abroad or in England. And that might sound absolutely ridiculous, because lots of clubs would have to cut their cloth accordingly, and the standard of football may drop significantly, because there might be less of an interest. It might be a bit more boring for many, but it might mean that we could win a trophy. The last time Motherwell won a trophy was in 1991, and I'm now getting fed up with that. I just want us to get our hands in some sort of silverware. So if we could get rid of the two players or the two big teams that often stop us doing that, then yeah, that would be my one change for Scottish football. Sorry, guys, but I'd like to see you bugger off.
Fantastic, Derek. Derek Watson, an absolute joy. Thanks very much for getting involved.
Thanks very much, Chris. Cheers.